You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. This year's California State of the State message is later than usual. It's usually in January. This time it's in February. And as we've been talking, this speech could last long. We're hearing maybe 1 to 2 hours. And the average by Governor Jerry Brown was 21 minutes. The average by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, 23 minutes. But the most important question is, what is going to be in this speech? Four guests have joined us to preview. In the studio with me is Delaine Easton, the first and only woman to be California State Superintendent of Public Instruction. She's a Democrat. She ran for governor against Gavin Newsom because of education issues. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Delaine.
Pleasure's all mine, Beth.
Roger Salazar is here. He's a Democrat. He's the owner of Alza Communications. He's a media consultant. He worked in the Clinton White House, was Governor Gray Davis's campaign press secretary. I want to say up front, the California Democratic Party is one of his clients, but I'm also expecting that means you have some special insight for us, Roger. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here, Beth. Thanks.
Melinda Avey is here. She is the second vice chair of the Sacramento County Republican Party. Melinda's new to these conversations. I'm glad you said yes and that we have your voice on the air today.
Thank you.
And on the phone is Mike Madrid. He's a partner at Grassroots Lab. He's a political public affairs analyst, a Republican based in Southern California. Hi, Mike. Glad to have you with us as well.
Thanks for having me, Beth. Looking forward to it.
I want to start with a quick round of answers here to this question. Mike, you're going to go first. For California listeners and voters, what issue does Gavin Newsom need to address today with importance and with reality? Mike?
I think the main thing he's going to have to do is establish a contrast between what's happening in Washington, D.C. and the direction that California is going to take. I think that's going to happen on a bevy of issues and not just one, Beth.
Okay.
So I think that's what we're going to be looking for.
Okay, I'm going to pause you there. Delaine, what's your take on that? What does he need to address with importance and reality?
Well, I think he has to, as he has in his budget, speak about the children of this state. The most important thing we do is educate our children. And yet, when it comes to child care right now and child development, we're behind Oklahoma and Georgia. That should frighten every Californian.
All right. Melinda, your take on this. Importance and reality.
I would like to see him talk about the housing crisis. I think that's a crisis that affects every single person in this state. And I think that's what they worry about the most. And they're looking for answers and they're looking for a way forward. So I think he can offer a lot in that regard.
And Roger.
Well, again, I actually agree with Mike. I think the most important for him thing for him to talk about is, you know, how is he going to govern in California that's different from what we're seeing in Washington, D.C.? He's already sort of telegraphed a little bit of that in his budget speech and his inaugural speech about how we are fundamentally at odds with the way Washington is being governed. So I think he's going to laying out how he's going to do that is going to be important.
All right. I'm going to change up the question a little bit. Each of you has what you think is an important issue in the state because of your own experience, your own conversation with voters and clients. So for you, not looking at the whole state, to you, what's the most important issue? Delaine?
Well, for me, it is education. I mean, we were the number one state in the union in terms of our commitment to education. When I was growing up, we built almost the entire university and community college system. We built a great K-12 system. We were, in fact, nimble about getting ready for the future. And that's why the Silicon Valley was born here. There's no Tigris or Euphrates. The Fertile Crescent was educational opportunities. And gradually, under governors of both parties, we've been disinvesting in education. Prop 13, of course, enters into it, but the reality is it's really time for somebody to read the Constitution, which says from all revenues there shall first be set aside the monies for the education of children through institutions of higher education. When you drop to 41st in per pupil spending, you should really be worried in the most expensive state in the union.
Melinda, I want to move to you. You said housing to you in the Sacramento County Republicans. Is that the most important issue or is something else rising even above that?
I think rising above that is the issue of affordability. We live in
meaning addressing the poverty level in the state.
Yes, we have an unacceptably high poverty level in California, but we also have a middle class that is stressed, and they're being asked to pay for more and more programs. They're trying to raise their own families. They're worried about their future. They're worried about the future of their children. And they can't afford more. So I think we have to start at least thanking them for all that they do. The people that are, they make too much to be subsidized, but they don't make enough to not care.
All right, Mike, to you, in that subset of Washington versus California or wherever you want to go with this, to you as a citizen of California, what would the most important issue be?
Well, I think it actually is probably housing and affordability, as was brought up. I happen to have three children, one who's at UC Berkeley, two who are in high school, and it's becoming increasingly apparent that there is no possible way that they're going to be able to live their lives in California, a state where I've spent my entire life and have fought on public policy issues to make this a better place. And we are heading in a direction which should be very concerning to everybody. We've got the largest poverty rates in the entire nation. We have the largest income inequality divide. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer at a faster rate than anywhere in the country at this moment. And our policymakers have not only not stopped that direction, they've actually been passing policies that double down on it. So unless we are able to get our housing and affordability issues in check, we can expect to grow our poverty problems and we can see a continual erosion of the middle class.
Roger, is part of your work, you also focus on the Latino caucus
Sure.
in the California legislature. You have various interest groups. For you personally, what comes up to the top?
Well, again, I don't disagree that housing and income inequality are very big issues, and I think part of that, and this is the thing that's most important to me, is trying to figure out how we get more Californians to engage civically. We need to improve our civic participation, especially among those groups, whether it's Latinos, African Americans, or white Californians who are in poverty who don't engage in the political process. Their voices don't get heard either because nobody talks to them or because they're working too hard to pay attention, or they just don't want to. They're just not interested. They don't think that the system is for them. And unless we get all those people, unless we get all Californians involved civically in participating in the process, you're always going to have people who feel left out, which is always going to cause friction and cause a lot of sort of the political infighting that we see these days in Washington and even in some places here in California.
Two rounds of questions, four different guests. Not one of you said immigration. Not one of you said border security. And yet the last 48 hours leading up to this speech, that's what the governor has been putting out there, talking about, messaging about.
Well, I think he, yesterday when he talked about this, he laid it out very clearly. This is a manufactured crisis by the Trump administration. So it's important that we address and deal with the issues there, and I think the Latino caucus has been very active in pushing for the governor in California to help the refugees at the border, to figure out some way in which we can be a positive actor, not a negative actor in this environment. If you just look at it from the overall level, there isn't a crisis at the border. It's just something that Trump is using to try and divide us.
Republican Assembly Member Vince Fong just told Ben Adler that maybe this is a process of scoring some political points, but a bit of playing politics. Hang on, Roger. I want to get Mike's opinion on this, also being a Republican. Where are you at on what the governor's been saying and doing?
Well, I think Governor Newsom is exactly right. This is a manufactured crisis. The facts and the evidence just play that out. As he mentioned yesterday, we've got the lowest immigration level since 1971. They've been on a dramatic decline since 2008. And for some unforeseeable reason, or maybe it is the obvious reason, the governor keeps playing to these racial dog whistle issues. And it's unfortunate, and it's a little bit awkward to be agreeing with the Democratic president, but the evidence is overwhelming. This is a manufactured crisis. It has no bearing in reality. And my hope is that the Republican Party will cease to play in these types of ugly issues and start talking about the issues that matter most for all Californians.
I'm talking with people in California politics about the State of the State message that's coming up in just a little over an hour. That was Republican public affairs expert Mike Madrid. You also heard Democratic media strategist Roger Salazar. With me in the studio is Melinda Avey from the Sacramento County Republican Party and California's former state superintendent of public instruction, Delaine Easton. So, Delaine, there are a lot of other issues. Let's put climate and wildfires, infrastructure, the PG&E bankruptcy, the budget debt that's looming out there and the liabilities in the mix. What else does the governor need to come out swinging on?
Well, he is going to come out swinging on the issue of the dead trees and the wildfires. And I think it is critically important that we acknowledge that you cannot, you know, be in the most populated state in the world, I mean, in this country, with this amazing potential for wildfires. And we've seen it vividly in the last couple of years. My own cousin was almost lost his house in Santa Rosa, put his life at risk to stay and save his house. But there are people that died. And so, I mean, it's far better that we take the National Guard and put them into the trees of California and knock down the dead ones and do more that's proactive in terms of preventing these fires. PG&E, I think, is in real deep yogurt. And the idea that they actually wanted to give bonuses to their top leadership is absolutely outrageous, and it should be to everybody. And, you know, I think it's really time that we do a much better job of overseeing those who do provide power in this state to make sure that they're not just lining their pockets, but that they're really taking care of prevention and not just making excuses after that we've lost homes.
Melinda, Delane just used the word overseeing differently, and I'll go back again to Ben's conversation with Assemblymember Vince Fong, and he said things have to be done differently in the state. Sitting from your view in the Republican County Group in Sacramento, are you optimistic? Are things going to be done differently under this Democratic governor in essentially a super, super Democratic majority in the legislature?
Yes, things will be done differently. We have a new governor, and that's actually exciting. We have he will be setting a new tone. One thing I would like to see him do, and one thing I hear a lot about, is to be more conciliatory and less confrontational. People that I talk to are tired of the partisanship. They're tired of the bashing. And they'd like some positive solutions framed that way. And I know it makes for good political speech to kind of have that tension going. But I think people really are tired of it. And they have so many problems in their day-to-day lives that they would like to see some solutions. They would like to see people working together across the aisle and figure some of these things out.
Let me do another fast round, quick answer, please, everybody. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, we're 6 weeks into this new governorship. How do you think he's being perceived going into this message? 1 to 10. Roger?
Is 10 the best?
10's the best.
I think he's hit a 10. I think he's been fantastic in his first few weeks. And again, I think he's been more impressive than people expected.
Melinda?
Depends on who you talk to.
I want to talk to you. What do you think?
I think probably 6, 7. Okay. I think it's exciting. I think he's maybe too ambitious. And I will be interested to see how it plays out.
Okay. Delane?
California's ambitious. I think he's a 10. I think he's looking at the right issues, and he's looking with real determination and grit.
Mike, where are you on this?
I think to the extent that people are paying attention, he's at an 8, solid 8, doing really well, especially with the PG&E bankruptcy. That's a big problem to have right out of the gate, and I think he's handled it very well to this point.
Okay, let me throw one more thing in the mix. The California Comptroller is reporting kind of a mixed picture on 2019 revenues that are opening up, saying total revenues were lower than the estimates in the governor's 2019-2020 fiscal year budget by almost 9%, but higher than projections in the 2018-19 Budget Act by about 7%. Is the state paying attention to the numbers in that way? We know the economy's volatile, Roger. Yeah. How much is that registering?
Well, I think it is registering. And I think that, you know, when you look back at sort of the previous state of the states that the other governors have done, whether it was Schwarzenegger when he came in after the recall, the budget and the economy were the biggest priorities and the biggest things he needed to deal with. When Jerry Brown came in 2011, you remember his mantra during the state of the state was vision and discipline because of the tight budget constraints that he had. So I think, you know, those governors have sort of set the tone for this first day of the state. I think Gavin Newsom has learned a lot being a lieutenant governor to Jerry Brown. I think he's going to have, the vision is there. It's very clear in sort of what we've been seeing early on. And I think he's going to show that he's, that he's also capable of managing that budget in a way, that doesn't give it all away, unnecessarily.
Delaine, how powerfully should this be a budget message for all of the ambitions of this governor?
I think he's done a very good job with this budget. He's put more money into the reserves, but he's also put money to pay down the pension debt, which is extremely important. Because if you just give the school districts the money and you don't pay down any of the debt, all the extra money they get is not, or I shouldn't say extra, all the new money they get will go into that pension. So it's really important that he, yes, think about the things we need to do, like getting rid of the dead trees, yes, building infrastructure, yes, building affordable housing. Melinda's just right. But also that he does think about those things that make us stronger down the road, like education. Full-day kindergarten is a big deal because it really does mean that these children are going to get much better foundation. Preschool is a big deal. So he's investing in the right places. I'm fond of saying that having spent some time in Sacramento, mm-hmm. one of the problems in our government is that a lot of people, especially Department of Finance, don't know the difference between expense and investment. They treat everything like it's an expense. I think this budget looks like it's really a plan, an investment plan, and it's strategic and it's timely.
Mike, if you were advising the governor right now, and we're, you know, an hour, 15, hour, 20 minutes before this speech, what would you have been telling him all along to be cautious about? And what are you going to say to him going into this speech as the watch out for? Let's call it the yellow light.
Well, I think it's very closely tied to the previous question, which is spending. Those governors who have had a fiscally responsible message and recognize how prudent it is to draw the line on excessive spending have done remarkably well as governors. Those that have not, have not. And California is tremendously over-reliant on the wealthy, a very small handful of people that pay an extraordinarily large percentage of our budget. And that's particularly problematic when there are downturns, which is, there's no question that's where we're heading. Governor Newsom, you know, committed to 18 new taxes in the middle of the primary, the Democratic primary, 18. Now, will he be raising 18 new taxes? Probably not. But at a time when revenues are declining, the economy is softening, and the separation between the haves and have-nots is getting extraordinarily large, there's going to have to be some sort of recalibration on the way we fund government services. And my concern, what I'm looking at, is this governor taking that seriously? Is he looking at this holistically and saying now is the time when it's not quite raining, but we can see a few raindrops coming down to reorganize the way we finance all of these government services? Because if we do not, the specters of what has happened in the past, especially under Gray Davis's administration, are going to come back and haunt this governor and haunt the state government. And I'm very concerned about that.
All right, Melinda. In Sacramento County, in the group of people that you circulate with, how important is this bigger positioning of California resisting Washington, D.C., and the stance that the governor is willing to kind of fan the flames on certain issues?
The people that I talk to, I think, universally would wish that there was less fanning of the flames, probably on both sides. I don't think it's doing us any good. And I think it's keeping us from solving the problems that we need to solve.
All right. One final question here for everybody. This is going to be a fast round. I want to take a guess or hear a guess from each of you on how long this speech is going to be. And Ben Adler said 65 minutes. Mike, what do you think?
I think it'll fit at 45 minutes.
Okay. Melinda?
An hour.
All right. Delaine?
50 minutes.
50?
And I'm going to go with 55.
You're going to go with 55. Okay. Not many think this is going to go too long. I would really like to keep you here for another 55 minutes or 65 minutes because I think the discussion that we're getting, the cross-section of what everybody's looking at and listening to is really important. And what it does say is there isn't just one issue. Maybe under Jerry Brown, it was we've got to rescue the state.
Yeah. Or with Gray Davis, you know, again, or yeah, with Schwarzenegger, it was energy and the budget. You're going to have, again, remember when Schwarzenegger came in, not only did he talk about the energy and the budget, but he also sort of went after teachers. He set the tone that the teachers' unions were, you know, bleeding the state or whatever that was, and basically declared war on them. And that set the tone for the rest of his administration. There was initiatives on trying to roll back, you know, some of the
is that what we're going to get today, the tone for the rest of the administration?
It will be. You'll get a sense of that.
Delaine, I think this is a very important speech that he's giving, and it is his, cornerstone of the next 4 years. years, and I think, but I think he's going to do a good job. He's got big ideas, and he's been listening to people, which I really appreciate. And I think there's an opportunity here for us to, in a bipartisan way, as Californians, do the right things for the right reasons. And I think there's not as much. I mean, you can hear it in this panel. Mm-hmm. There's not as much difference here as there is. You know, let's put our shoulder to the wheel and get the really important work done. There's this jingle I love, which is, "So sing, my friends, be blithe, be gay, or weep, my friends, with sorrow. What California is today, the rest will be tomorrow."
Well, how can we end it any better than that? Thank you so much, Delaine Easton.
Thank you,
Roger Salazar, Melinda Avey, and Mike Madrid. Always a pleasure to have all of you with us on Insight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. All right. Today's live coverage of the State of the State will begin at 11. You can hear it streaming live at capradio.org. The past State of the State addresses are on our website, and there will be fact-checking by the PolitiFact California team. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.